If you weren't here this morning, that song went perfectly with what was preached this morning. I mean, absolutely perfectly. And that's the blessing of modern technology, is that you can go on your way home. You can download that message probably tonight at one of our locations. There's so many different places in which you can find the messages from our church, sermon audio, and YouTube, and different places like that. And I would encourage you to do it. What a powerful, powerful message. God worked mightily in our hearts this morning. We're thankful for a God who walks through the fire with us. There's been some fire walking this year, hasn't there been, for many of us? And yet God has been with us every step of the way, and we're thankful for it. Well, again, we're certainly grateful to have Brother Dave Young and his family with us here today. Brother Young was originally scheduled to be part of our youth conference, and we had trimmed that down to just a youth revival, and then we had to trim that down even more. But we were able to work out the details and still have Brother Young and his family with us. And of course, God has used him in a great way in our church over the years through various revivals and meetings and conferences. And I know God's going to use him here tonight. So God bless you, Brother Young, as you come and preach God's word to us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pastor. Take your Bibles and find the book of Romans, would you? Romans 15 in your Bible tonight. And glad to see you tonight, church family. Glad to have all of you here. It's a wonderful Sunday night crowd. And the music's been good. The special was awesome. And just the whole service, Bethley and I and Jake and Charity, we've been delighted to be with you guys today and glad this worked out again. And it's been a good day. Good to see you all again. These are good days. You know that, don't you? Amen. A lot of weird things going on, but these are good days. We're alive, we're well, we're happy, we're blessed. And God is sure good to us, isn't he? And so thank you for being here tonight. Y'all look pretty good. A lot of folks in the balcony. How are y'all doing up there? Everybody good up there? How many of you are here tonight? Let me see your hand if you're here. All right. Most of you are. We're glad the rest of you get here. It's a little weird that you're sitting here but not here. So get on in here. We're thrilled to have you here tonight. If you didn't get a Sunday afternoon nap, this is not the best time to do that. But we're glad you're here. Thank you so much for inviting us back again. And it's just good to be with you folks. Always, always. And so thankful for you. You be praying for us. We're loaded. The schedule's completely full from now through Thanksgiving, and many miles to travel, many revivals, and the needs are just incredibly great. So thank you so much for praying for us along the way, and we're very, 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 very thankful for that. It has been a strange year, hasn't it? And how'd you handle it? Did you just kind of close in, or did you find any humor? I tend to handle things by looking for the humor in it. Do you do that? I like to laugh a little bit. I collected some memes about this COVID stuff. And here's a couple of my favorites. One was about Walmart. It said, Walmart is now asking customers to wear masks. Then it said, good luck with that. They can't even get some to wear pants. And I thought, yep, there may be some truth to that. Somebody posted and said, I think I got a tan. I think I got a tan from the refrigerator light. And I thought that might be true of some. And one person kept a day one of quarantine, day two of quarantine, day three of quarantine. One of them said day 18 of quarantine, filled the dog with helium. And I thought, well, that would be different, wouldn't it? Had a picture of the dog stuck to the ceiling. Day 20 of quarantine said, today I melted an ice cube with my mind just by staring at it. Took a lot longer than I thought it would. And I thought that was kind of funny. This is one of my favorites. I've spent 2 weeks hanging out with myself, and I just want to say I'm sorry to every person I've ever spent time with. And here's two more for you. To all my friends who say they can't wait to hug everybody when this is over, I didn't hug you when this started, and I'm not going to hug you when it's over. And then one more. Fencing is the perfect COVID-19 sport. Number one, you have to wear masks. Number two, you have to wear gloves. And number three, if anybody gets closer than 6 feet, you can stab them. And so there you go. Romans 15. Let's talk a little bit tonight about glorifying God in this pandemic. Glorifying God in this pandemic. Verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1. If you have it, say, I'm there. Amen. All right. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In the last verse of Romans 15, verse 33, "Now the God of peace be with you all." You can say it out loud. Amen. Amen. Glorifying God in a pandemic. Did you see that in verse 6? "That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God." Did you see it in verse 9? "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." How familiar are you with the term glorified? You know that term, don't you? You've sung it, you've heard it. How would you define it? Glorify. What does it mean to glorify God? What does that even mean? Well, the word itself means to impart glory to something or to render it excellent. It means to make renowned or to render illustrious. It means to cause the dignity and worth of some person or something to become manifest and acknowledged. You know that idea, don't you? You can glorify a car by that definition, can't you? It means to cause the dignity and worth of some person or something to become manifest and acknowledged. Do you have a favorite car? Not everybody does, but I meet people all the time that have a favorite car. They drive Fords. I'm a Ford man, somebody says, and they'll tell you why. "Well, I'm a Chevy man," somebody says, and they'll tell you why. "I'm a Dodge man," somebody else says, and they'll tell you why. They can glorify a car. I drive a Dodge right now, have a Dodge. In fact, I've covered all the bases. I'm driving a Dodge pickup to pull my RV. I have a Ford in the driveway at home, and my sons are driving my other car, which is a Chevy. So I'm all things to all men. Don't y'all think that's pretty amazing? I just cover all the... I need a Honda and a Toyota. If you're giving one away, let me know, all right? And I would cover all the bases. But I know what it is to glorify a vehicle. I had a guy say to me some time ago, he said, "I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't drive a Dodge. I think you ought to drive a Chevy." How many of y'all know somebody like that? Anybody like that, you know? "You ought to drive a Chevy." So I said, "Fine with me, buy me one and I will." And unfortunately, he didn't quite see it that way. You can glorify a car. You can glorify a spouse. How many of you are married in the building? Wave your hand at me if you're married. If you're happily married, wave the other one. Is that most of you? All right, most of you there. The glorify is to cause the dignity and worth of some person or something to become manifest and acknowledged. So you can glorify your spouse. You could say, "That's my baby doll right there. That's the love of my life. That's my best friend. That's my favorite person in all the world. I introduced my wife all summer at teen camps as my girlfriend." I said, "Teens, have you met my girlfriend?" I introduced my wife as my girlfriend. I had a teenager walk up to me and she said, "Why in the world do you call your wife your girlfriend? She's your wife, not your girlfriend." And how do you answer that? I said, "Well, in the first place, she's a girl, isn't she? In the second place, she's my friend, so it works, doesn't it? That's my girlfriend." You can glorify your spouse. You could glorify your husband. You could say, "That's my man right there. He's the man. That's my man. He's twice the man I married." How many of you say amen to that, huh? Twice the man she married. You can glorify a team, can't you? You could try to glorify even the Browns, couldn't you? You could try. You could work at it. I saw someone post something about this pandemic will not be over till the Browns win the Super Bowl. And I thought, wow, that's going to be a while, isn't it? Probably anyway. You can glorify a team. You can glorify a state, can't you? You could say, we're the Buckeyes from Ohio, and here's why we like Ohio. You can glorify a state. I preached last week in Michigan, and I said something about glorifying a state, and I got cheers from that audience. They they cheer because they lose so often, you know. And so they cheer when they can, I guess is how that works. But pure Michigan, I drove into Michigan, I said, pure Michigan, you can glorify a car, or a spouse, or a team, or say, you can glorify a church. You can say, Cleveland Baptist Church is the greatest church in the state of Ohio. You can say that. You could glorify a church. Are you with me on that? So we cause dignity and worth of some person or something to become manifest and acknowledged. Now, based on the text I just read to you, the Bible is telling us here that we are to glorify God. That's our goal. That's our aim. And I want to talk to you on this Sunday night about how in the world do you glorify God in the midst of this pandemic, this COVID-19? How can we measure up in Romans 15 to glorify God? There are three answers found in our text, and they're pretty obvious, but I want you to zero in on them. In the first five or six verses here, here's what he's going to tell us. How do you glorify God in this pandemic? Number one, you do so by focusing on your care for one another. Now I want you to chew on that just a little bit. Are you a church family? Yes or no? Do y'all love each other? Yes or no? Here's what the Bible is saying in the text. A church family glorifies God when they care for one another. Look at it in verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He's talking to the church at Rome. It's a local church. A local church is made up of people that are stronger, but they build up the weak. They bear the infirmities. They encourage the infirmities. The word bear means to shoulder. I'll shoulder your concerns. I'll carry it with you. We're to care for one another. The word infirmity here is a unique word because it actually has the idea of a weakness in the mind. Now, here's the idea there. How many find yourself sometimes, all is well in your life, but you can't wrap your mind around things? You ever have that happen to you? And you're a little troubled. You watch the news and you're a little down. Has that ever happened to you? A little discouraged. You're a little frustrated. You know what we do in a church sometimes? If we're not careful, even outside of a pandemic, we can come to church and sit in our pew. Praise God for folks that come to church and sit in their pew. We can write our tithe check and put it in, or go on the app and download it and put it in online giving. We go through all the motions and sometimes overlook the fact that a church is more than just attendance. A church is more than just a place to put the tithe in the offering plate. A church is people, and we are to come to church, and the Bible says we're to provoke one another to love and good works. When I walk into the church, I'm to be aware in the church that, you know what, there are brothers and sisters here in the church that need me. They need me to talk to them, to encourage them, to build them, to strengthen them, to pray with them, to look out for their needs and be a blessing to them. Can I ask you a personal question? When's the last time that happened to you at church? When's the last time you walked into church and thought, you know, brother so-and-so looks a little down, and you went over and spent a little time with brother so-and-so to encourage him and pray with him, literally in the text, to bear his infirmity, his discouragement? When's the last time you teenagers went to church and thought of it like that? It's more than just singing a song. It's more than just listening to music. It's more than just taking notes in a sermon. It's a people caring for each other. That's what makes a church unique in our Christianity. We care for one another. So how you doing with that? Teens, you ever met one of the older widow ladies in the church and gotten to know her? Have you ever just saw somebody and thought, I'm going to go talk with them and pray with them, get to know them a little bit and encourage them? How do you glorify God in a pandemic? Well, we focus on our care for, we think of others, if you will, in verse 1. I remember when I first got saved, I went to church one day and there was an older lady sitting by herself. And I remember getting up the courage and walking over, introducing myself and sitting down and meeting Mrs. Sands. Sister Sands is how I referred to her. And I talked to her many times at church after that, widow lady. I found out when she got saved, where she was born, where she lived, how long her husband had been in heaven, and how long she had gone to the church. I got to know Sister Sands quite well. We talked only at church. I never went to her house. I never had a meal with her. Just really only at church to encourage her. Here's a widow lady kind of sitting by herself, and I was just a teenager. I'd go encourage her, talk to her, just try to be a blessing to her. When I went to Bible college, almost every week in Bible college, I got a handwritten letter from Sister Sands. Just a one-page letter. And she had wrote things like this. Dear Brother Dave,
I've been praying for you, thinking about you, hope all is well. And this week I wanted to send you, and she would always put a dollar amount. And every week she sent me either three $1 bills, four $1 bills, or sometimes a $5 bill. Amen. Every week when I was in Bible college. That's how I did my laundry. Amen. My roommates were thankful for her. I was thankful for her. When I met Bethany, she was thankful for her. I had clean laundry because of a lady I met at church and tried to encourage. It made a difference in my life, and I think a difference in her life. Here's what Paul is trying to say to the church at Rome. We're to encourage one another. We're to think of others. Notice in the second verse, we're to edify each other. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. When's the last time you built somebody up? When's the last time you just complimented them? Said, you know what? You sure were singing well tonight there behind me. You sure have a nice tie on. You sure look good. You sure have a nice beard. That would be for the guys. You sure look good. You're sure doing well. I appreciate you. Thanks for that message. Thanks for that song. He says here, we're to please our neighbor for his good. We're to build him up. Notice he goes on here and he gives the illustration of Christ. That's what Jesus did. Jesus wasn't so focused on himself. He was focused on others and he blessed others. And look, we're saved, we're blessed, we're encouraged because of what Jesus Christ did. I can say amen to that, can't you? And then you get down into verse 6 and notice, well, verse 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded. And you get to verse 6 and he says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. How can we glorify God in this pandemic? By focusing on our care for each other. So in verse 1, we're to think of others. And verse 2, we're to edify others. And in verse 5 and 6, we're to be in unity. How many of you agree that unity is important in a church? We're to be on the same page. We're to all serve together in loyalty and like-mindedness. We're to get along with each other, be in unity. Unity is important. I don't know where I read this, but somewhere along the way, I read a story of a New York Yankee, and he sold his business in New York, and he moved to the West, and he bought a ranch. And after he'd been there for 4 or 5 years, one of his buddies came to visit him, and his buddy, after he picked him up and brought him out to the ranch, said, "What did you call your ranch?" And he said, the ranch owner said, "Well, I wanted to call it the Lazy Bee. My wife wanted to call it the Bar Y. My daughter, she wanted to call it Susie Q. And my son wanted it to be called the Broken Arrow." And his friend said, "Well, what did you call it?" And he said, "Well, we just decided to do it all. We called our ranch the Lazy Bee Bar Y Susie Q Broken Arrow Ranch." And his friend said, "Well, okay." He said, "Where's your cattle?" He said, "We don't have any because they didn't survive the branding." Now, that's a somewhat silly story, and I suppose it's not true. But you know, if you're not careful in a church, you can fail to survive the branding. Yeah. We all have different opinions. We all have different ideas. We all have different worries and concerns and frustrations and irritations, but we're to be like-minded in the church. We're to worship together. We're to sing together. We're to amen together. We're to honor God together. We're to be on the same page about soul winning and bus ministries and paving parking lots, and the list just goes on and on and on. Y'all with me tonight? So here's what he's trying to say to the church at Rome. He says, look, you're to glorify God. Okay, Paul, how do we do that? Number one, by focusing on our care for each other. Y'all with me there? Does that one make sense? Here's the second one. Notice it's kind of a subtle one, but I notice in this passage that we can glorify God by focusing on God's character. Not just focusing on our care for each other, but focusing on God's character. Go back to verse 5 again. Look at verse 5. And notice he just gives us a glimpse of our God here. Now, the God of patience and consolation. If you drop down then into verse 13, you find the God of hope. If you go to the end of the chapter, in the last verse I read to you, you find the God of peace. Look at God's character in this passage. He's the God of patience. That means he's steadfast. How many of you just want to take a moment and say, praise God, that in the midst of this pandemic, we have a God who is absolutely steadfast. Aren't you thankful for that? He's the same. Help me out. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Isn't that an incredible encouragement? How many of you know that politicians can change? How many of y'all know that medical doctors can change? How many of you know that the experts can change? You're all aware of that, aren't you? But there is a God in the universe who is patient. He's steadfast. He's unchangeable. Praise God. You can always depend on him. And you know who he is. And he'll be the same person tomorrow that he is today. And you can trust him all the way till you stand in his presence in glory land itself. Focus on God's character, not on the political scene, not on the problems, not on the difficulties and the challenges. You've got a God who is steadfast. Get your focus on him. Get your hope in him. And notice he's the God of consolation. That means he's the God of exhortation. The idea of that is he's the God who'll encourage you if you'll listen to him. He cares about you. You're important to God. I love that. Do you love this verse? I love the verse that says, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. I like that verse. Don't you like that verse? Amen. Two cares in the verse. Your care and his care. The words for your care is a different word than the word for his care. If you look it up in a Bible dictionary, the one that describes your care refers to your burdens. You ever have burdens in your life? You ever have problems in your life? You ever have challenges in your life? You ever feel down? You ever feel burdened? You ever feel discouraged, frustrated, irritated? Do you ever just feel out of sorts? Do you ever just get up on the wrong side of the bed? Sometimes our cares are insignificant, and sometimes they seem insurmountable. It's true, isn't it? We referred in this service to your friend Matt Lodi. And I know he's carried a lot of care with his battle with cancer. And here's what the Bible says, casting your care on him. I don't know what's going on in your life, you folks there in the balcony, but I'll tell you this, whatever the burden may be in your life, whatever the challenge may be, whatever the concern may be, whatever weight you may be carrying, the Bible says you're to cast that care on the Lord. Throw it on him. Give it to him. How do we sing that song? There's a song that says, bring your burden to the Lord and what? Leave it there. He invites you to come. Somebody said one time in my revival, said, now leave all your problems and troubles and trials out in the car and come in here tonight. Let's have a great service. Amen. And I know what he meant, but I think he might be wrong. You don't have to leave your burdens out there. Bring them on in. You don't have to leave your cares. Don't leave them out there in the car. Bring them right on in here because there's a God in here that's interested in your cares, your burdens, and your concerns. Amen. Cast your care on him, for he careth for you. That second care, the idea of that word, I did a little word study on it, and here's one of my favorite definitions. That second care, the care that refers to our God, has this idea, you matter to God. Amen. Isn't that shouting ground? Bring your cares. You matter to God. He knows what's going on in your life, and you matter to him. You're important to him. He's concerned about you. That ought to put you on shouting ground tonight. That's a hanky-waving truth, isn't it? You matter to God. Here's what, he's the God of patience. He's the God of consolation. How many of you thank God he's the God of hope? Aren't you glad for that? That's a confident expectation. It's a joyful, confident expectation of eternal salvation. God's in charge. We're okay. I'm telling you, I got saved when I was 15 years old, and I'm 50 tonight, and I don't know how long I had, but there is hope in my soul that there's coming a day that I'm going to stand in the very presence of God with a glorified body. Amen. Told my wife one day, baby, as good as I look right now, can you imagine how good I'm going to look when I have a glorified body in heaven? And I was expecting an amen right there. Don't you think that's a good place for an amen? But I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to be in the presence of God. That's our hope. Thank God our hope's not in the White House or the Congress or the State House. Thank God for that. He's the God of patience. He's the God of consolation. He's the God of hope. And how many of you praise God? He's the God of peace. You can have peace tonight. Your finances may be in disarray. You may have uncertainties about the future. And you may have some questions in your heart tonight. But your God is the God of peace, and he offers you his peace. You can rest in him. You can let his peace, like a river, flood your soul. You don't have to be worried and uptight and frustrated and irritated. He's the God of peace. Reminds me of Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. Y'all know that verse? Don't be full of care. Don't be uptight and anxious and worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Everything. Pandemic, everything. Financial job, everything. My health, everything. my uncertain, everything, whatever it is, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. He's the God of peace. It sounds like this. It's like a good meal. You ever had a good meal and been so full you couldn't take another bite? And you push back from the table and you sigh. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You push back and you go, it's peace. All is well. I'm full. Couldn't eat another bite. That is, until dessert comes out. Somebody say amen to that. Isn't that how it is? Our kids are that way. I'm full. You want some ice cream? Oh, yeah. Bring it on. It's peace. How do I glorify God? And how do I focus? How do I come to the place to where in my life I'm causing the dignity and worth of my God to become manifest and acknowledged? Well, here's how. I focus on my care for each other in this church. I'm to care for you and you're to care for me. And we're to get along as a church family. That's how we glorify God. We're to focus on God's character. That's how we glorify God. There's one more truth in the text. How do we glorify God in this pandemic? Not just by focusing on God's character and not just by focusing on our care for each other, but in verses 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, we focus on our conduct. How do you glorify God? You glorify God in your conduct. Look at verse 9 and notice what he says. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and do what, church? And sing unto thy name. Well, what is the conduct I'm supposed to have if I'm going to glorify God in a pandemic? Here's my conduct. I'm to sing. I'm to sing. That's what he says in the text. I'm to sing. You know, I got convicted about something. For years in my life, I'd read verses like this. Let me read it to you. I'd read a verse like this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Or I'd read this one over here. I'd come along and I'd read this one. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what I had a tendency to do? I had a tendency to view those two verses as, now those two verses right there help you to have music standards in your life. This is the kind of music you ought to have, and this is the kind of music you ought not to have. And one day it dawned on me, that's not necessarily a wrong way to view those verses, but you can view those verses that way and miss the entire point. The entire point is to sing. You and I are to open our mouths and sing. Singing makes a difference, doesn't it? Get your heart happy. Amen. You know, we ought to sing more than we do. We got the TV on. We're staring at the numbers ticking up on the side of the screen and scrolling across the bottom of the screen. And it's one bad news after another, bad report. God's people ought to glorify God and sing. How long has it been since you got a happy song in your heart? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Help me out here. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Doesn't that get you in that? Doesn't that put you in a different frame of mind? Here's a song I've been singing a lot lately. My family just loves how much I'm singing this one. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Y'all know that song? That's a good one. If you don't know it, you ought to learn it. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That'll make you happy. I have this terrible tendency to sing one line of a song over and over and over. It's a blessing to my Jacob, who's very musical. But many times I'll just burst into singing. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Go back to reading my book. And a while later, just comes out again. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And somewhere later, I'll be out in the garage. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Jacob said to me one day, finish the song. He obviously needed some joy, so I sang it again. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Here's what the Bible is saying. You glorify God when all is well in your life, but you sing. Or when all is wrong in your life, but you sing. That's glorifying to God. Not every song has to be a happy toe-tapping song, though I'm partial to those. I confess I am. I like songs that are happy. I like songs you can tap your foot to. I like songs you know, that puts a happiness in your heart. But not all the songs have to be. Some people aren't my personality. And there's different songs. You ought to make it a habit in your life to sing. That's glorifying to God. How long has it been since you sang this one? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. How long has it been since you sang? Or maybe this one. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That'll put you on shouting ground. I heard a song yesterday somewhere along the way about the unseen hand. How many of y'all know that old song? You know that old song? That I'm trusting to the unseen hand. I was telling you, we're to sing. We as God's people, we walk around with our head down and our foreheads, furrowed, and we look like we've lost our best friend, but our best friend is alive from the dead. We're to glorify God by singing. Put a happy song in your heart and start singing. Say, well, I can't sing. Hum. Say, well, I can't hum. Play the radio. Find somebody. Put some music in your heart. Here's the first thing he says. Your conduct should glorify God. So it's time to sing. Look in verse 10. It's not only time to sing, it's time to rejoice. In Romans 15, in verse 10, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. The word rejoice has two meanings. It means to be delighted with a thing. It means to get yourself in a good frame of mind. God doesn't want you to be plagued in your mind by being down and frustrated and discouraged and tempted. No. God wants you to get your brain in a good frame of mind. And here's what, you rejoice. I got up early one morning. It was dark outside. I got a shower, got dressed, grabbed my luggage and got in the car and drove to Pensacola. And it was still dark. And I checked in for an early morning flight and it was still dark. And I went through security and it was still dark. And I went down and sat in the waiting area down by the airplane. And nobody was talking. It was early in the morning. It was dark outside. And we all, finally got on the airplane and got seated. And nobody's talking. It's still dark outside. It's early in the morning. And I was sitting in the airplane. All of a sudden, I heard somebody coming down that, what do you call that? I start to say the runway. It's not the runway. What do you call that? What is it?
Jetway.
The jetway. That's the word I'm thinking of. The jetway. Heard somebody coming down the jetway. I couldn't see them, but I heard them coming. It's dark outside. Nobody's talking, but I heard somebody coming down the jetway. They were whistling. And they were whistling an old hymn I hadn't heard in years. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Guy gets on, great big old guy, got on the plane, smiling. It's dark outside. But there was a man in a happy frame of mind. He just whistled like he was the only guy on the plane. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. I sat there and thought to myself, there's a man in a good mood right there. There's a man must know the Lord. There's a man happy. That's glorifying to God when the world looks at our problems and our trials and our tragedies in the midst of a pandemic like this. But we as God's people are singing and rejoicing. That's glorifying to our God. Y'all with me tonight or not? Amen. There's two more. Can you handle two more? How do you glorify God? You glorify God by your conduct. That's number three. And you sing and you rejoice. And then in verse number 11, you praise. That means to extol or to honor or to recommend. The word praise means to recommend. Next time you see somebody all down and frustrated, recommend God to them. Recommend God, recommend joy, recommend peace, recommend a Savior named Jesus Christ who died and was buried and is raised from the dead and is alive forevermore and has the keys of death and hell and the grave itself. To praise is to recommend. It's to make a person look good, to bring honor to them. That's the word praise. It's my God. He's a good God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus Christ and he's changed my life. That's praise. There's another one here. I can sing. That's a conduct ought to have. I can rejoice. That's a conduct ought to have. I can praise. That's a conduct ought to have. But did you catch verse 12? And again, Isaiah, our Greek Bible, our English Bible in the Greek, puts an E there. That's the Greek form of the Hebrew Isaiah. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. How do you glorify God? By your conduct. Well, you sing, you rejoice, you praise, and you trust. Amen. You trust God in your situation. You trust God. You trust God. Is life hard at times? Yes or no? You better believe it. Are there valleys and tragedies and trials? Yes, there are. But we're the children of the living God. Amen. We're to trust him. We're to trust him. He's alive. He's my God. He's real. I'm to trust him. One commentator said, it means to rest, to depend, to believe. One said, and there's a quote, the outlook on earth may be dark and depressing, but uncover your windows toward God, and you will see that the land is full of light. Amen. I like that. I like that our house in Florida is in the woods. We have 1 acre, and we're in the woods. We have just a little patch of grass, and everything else is mulch from the tree leaves and the pine needles. We live in the woods. The lady that built our house, she drew the design and everything about it, she hand-designed it and had it built to what she wanted. It's a very unique and beautiful home. We're very blessed by our home. And one of the things she wanted, and one of the reasons I fell in love with the house, we first met it and first, you know, looked at it, was she put these almost floor-to-ceiling windows in our house. The living room has two big ones over on this side looking out towards the highway there, the road in front of our house. And the house faces this way, and there's three really big windows this way, and you can see the trees. And we can get up in the morning, Bethley and I, she has her tea, and I have my coffee because I'm more spiritual. And and we sit, and we had a bird feeder out there, and we can watch the cardinals and the squirrel who can't get the food but's trying to. And we can look out. There's nothing quite like getting up when I'm home and sitting in my seat, drinking coffee out of my cup that I made in my coffee pot, and looking outside at the beautiful Florida sunshine. Amen. Especially in February. Amen. That's my favorite time to do it. And I always try to be a blessing to friends of mine who are in Cleveland and pastor, and I will send them reports of our weather. That I know it's -7 in Cleveland, and we're suffering down here. Pray for us. It's 71. And so I try to be a blessing. But I love opening those windows. We keep our windows open. A lot of people keep theirs closed. They keep them closed. We open the windows. I want to see out. Open the windows. I want to see out. Open the windows. I love to see the light. Open the windows. I want to see the light. Here's what the Bible is saying. The world out there may be dark and depressing and discouraging. And you know it is, don't you? But you open the windows facing toward God, and what you're going to find out is that God's in charge. This whole land's full of light. Amen. He's in charge. You can trust him. Amen. My friends, that's how you glorify God in a pandemic. We as God's people are full of uncertainties, and we're down in our generation. We're a little frustrated. We're a little unsure. If we're not careful, we'll become very introspective and withdraw into our own little world of doubts and uncertainties and frustrations. But Paul wrote a letter to the church at Rome, and this is 2,000 years ago now, and what he had to say is right on target tonight. Amen. We're to glorify God by focusing on our care for each other. We're to glorify God by getting our focus on God's character. And ladies and gentlemen, we're to glorify God by the conduct that we have. We're to sing, we're to rejoice, we're to praise, and we're to trust God. That, my friends, is what it means to glorify God according to Romans 15. Have I made sense tonight? Are y'all with me tonight? Isn't this a great text? Amen. What a great text. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Thank you so much for letting me preach to you tonight and being a part of your church today.